a roll call.
Member Link. Thank you. Member Preston. Member Roberts. Member Velez.
Present.
Member Villander.
Present.
Vice Chair Murray. Here. Chair McDevitt.
Here. Thank you, Mr. Norman. And we will now rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, the public will now have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda items relevant to the jurisdiction of the City of Goleta.
Thank you, Chair. I've received one speaker slip, and if any members on Zoom wish to speak, please raise your hand and we will call upon you. Speaking first for public forum, I have Robin Cedarloff.
Good evening, Commission and staff. Thank you so much for allowing me a few minutes to speak. My name is Robin Cedarloff, and I am a local, 150 years of my family's been in Goleta. So I have a real passion for Goleta's history, although I don't know all of it. And I'm so excited to have a commission like this to help with educating the public and preserving some of our jewels in the area. I'm before you today on a specific property. It's located at 469 Kellogg Way. And that is an old property that was owned originally by Peter Begg. So back at the, a long time ago. I heard about this property through some friends of mine that live in Old Town, and they had heard through the grapevine that there was a development going to occur on this property. So I did reach out to staff, and Daryl did get back with me and give me a little bit of information, and he recommended I fill out a historic landmark nomination form, which I did part of it. And I've got the completed form here for you, minus the fee of $927. I don't know if any of you know about that part. I didn't know about it. It wasn't any written down anywhere. But I would like to submit the rest of this, bring this property to you folks' attention. And I don't know if there's any kind of an appeal process for that $927. And maybe there might be some means of doing some kind of preliminary step before landmark nomination that will allow it to get in front of you folks to really analyze whether it should go further or not. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Must have taken a lot of work to do, so thank you. A lot of effort. Well, you did the best you could. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And speaking next, I have Ronald NYC for General Public Forum.
That's Ronald Nye, NYE. Thanks. Good evening. I am Ronald Nye, a local historian, and I'm also on the Santa Barbara County Landmarks Commission. I've served for several years on that one, and as well as the Main Begg House Board of Directors here in Goleta Valley. I'm also what drew me in here today was the same property. 469 Kellogg Way, and I don't think much research has been done on it. I'm not sure that it's The project, the proposed project on the property probably hasn't advanced very far, and we may be pretty early in the process. But I guess the thing that I wanted to talk about very quickly is this is not the first time this has happened, obviously, and you know that by now. And it's going to keep happening as Goleta develops and grows and puts more and more pressure on historic resources that have survived. And I just urge you to have your antennas up and pay attention to these kinds of things and insist upon having some input in the process of how these projects come into being, how they're being evaluated, whether or not historians are helping you out by assessing whether or not a property is significant, whether you folks present yourself to the various city departments and city staff to insist upon some acknowledgement of the need to protect local resources and insist upon your role as being kind of the guardian of our resources in this city and county. So thank you very much. I urge you to select the committee or come up with processes so each time this comes up, which will happen a lot, as I say, you'll be prepared and you'll be ready to ask the right questions when you need to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nye. I appreciate your sentiments.
Thank you, Chair. I have no additional speaker slips, and we currently have no one participating on the Zoom webinar.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Norman. Mr. Mimic, do we have any amendments or adjustments to the agenda?
Chair McDivitt, we do not.
Okay. I don't. Barbara was asking if we can hit comment.
Typically. Can you speak?
Yep.
So I guess my question was, do we reply to public comments?
No, not at this time. So okay. given these were items that were not on today's agenda, we're not authorized to speak on those.
Okay.
Thank you, Barbara, for bringing that up, just so that the public knows, even though nobody's watching it, maybe somebody watched the recording. We definitely appreciate the comments, but we can't respond to them. But thank you very much. And yeah. Okay. This takes us to item A on the agenda. The draft Monarch Press article and historic resource nomination process. Mr. Norman?
Item A1, draft Monarch Press article and historic resource nomination process.
Thank you, Chair McDivitt and members of the commission. It's great to see everyone. Today we have a couple items that we want to present on and get comments from the commission. The first is, you might remember on March 27th of this year, the Historic Preservation Commission asked staff to try and engage in some public outreach regarding our city landmark and historic resource nomination process. So staff came up with some ideas, and one idea that really fell to the forefront was engaging the public by putting an article in the City of Goleta Monarch Press. And the Monarch Press, it's a monthly newsletter. It goes out, you can get to it by our city website, but also goes out to everyone on the city's email list. So the Monarch Press contains, upcoming events, upcoming celebrations. And so it's a really good platform to get information out to members of the public. And so today I just briefly want to go over a draft article that we have prepared with the hope to put this in the Monarch Press. whether that be in June or July or August. We'll follow your direction. But today I wanted to go through the document and make any edits that the commission requests, or if you have any comments, I can add that as well. But we think this is a great platform to really come up with our first article for the Monarch Press. So with that, I'll go over the article and hit the highlights, and then from there we can look at some edits. So obviously we're trying to bring some enthusiasm to this process. So our title is, do you know a potential historic building, historic property or building? If so, let us know. Given this is a relatively new commission, our historic preservation ordinance is relatively new, we really want to let people know that there is this process out there. The article then goes into the importance of historic preservation and some key reason why it really matters. So one, cultural identity. Two, you know, education and educating the public about historic resources. The economic benefits of how preservation can boost our local economies. Four, environmental sustainability. Five, aesthetic and architectural value. And so in terms of nomination process itself, you know, residents of Goleta at this time are the only ones who can make a nomination. So you have to be a citizen of Goleta. And then in terms of evaluating a historic resource or a potential city landmark, it has to meet specific criteria. And I'll briefly go through those. One, it has to be at least 50 years old or exhibit exceptional importance. And two, has to meet one of the following, associated with important events that made a significant contribution to our city, county, or nation. Is associated with persons of significant stature locally, state, or countywide. Embodies characteristics of a style, you know, type of architecture or method of construction, and has yielded or has the potential to yield information important to the history or prehistory of our city, state, and nation. And then number three, retains those aspects of historical integrity that convey the reason for its significance. And then we go into where the nomination forms can be found. We'll have a link. And then we also provide a link to just our general historic resource page within the City of Goleta website. And so that's kind of what we have now as a draft, and would love to hear your comments or edits, and I'd be happy to put those edits in on the fly right now.
I know I have some. I'm sure Fermina does.
Great.
But I'm going to wait and see if, do you mind if we ask if one of the other commissioners have a comment first?
I want to keep comment. No, I think these are good guidelines.
Great. And then, of course, you know, it is a discussion, interactive, so if something
exactly
pops in your head in the meantime, yeah, please let us know. Ms. Velez?
Definitely think that these are definitely good guidelines as to Mrs. Link had said. So I don't see any.
Can you verify your mic is on?
I think so.
Oh, there it is. Thank you. Yeah.
So I was saying these are definitely good guidelines and good values to have in the newsletter. So I think you covered everything. So I don't see any anything else to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Velez.
My only comment was more continuity. On the first one, preserving historic sites helps maintain a sense of identity and continuity. Number one, cultural identity. I would just suggest saying, I would either put an adjective before identity, or just take out of identity helps maintain a sense, of continuity. I feel like either you need to put something in front of identity, but it already says cultural identity. So I would say preserving historic sites helps maintain a sense of continuity in a rapidly changing world. That was, is just a semantic suggestion.
That's why we always need to have a professor, at least one, on the commission. Vice Chair, do you want to say some? Do you have anything? I just have a couple things, and this is really picky, and this is just from somebody who works in the profession. I think, and I'm happy, I think it might be difficult to do it right now on the fly, Mr. Mimic, but there's a difference between historic and historical. So I think the use of both of those words are specific. So I did have a few comments, but I can give them to you offline. But historic is obviously the age, and then of course there's cultural resources that are also prehistoric, so we don't want to eliminate those. And then historical is something that has been determined to have significance pursuant to CEQA or the guideline, the ordinance that we have for the city, or NEPA, if that's appropriate. And so the use of those two, so like near the end, you talk about historical, you say historic, I would have used historical there. So this is really picky. This is just from somebody who, but you know, if we're going to write it, might as well write it with that in mind. The second thing that I have thought of, and I reserve my right to bring it up another one, but is, you know, obviously archaeological resources are included in the ordinance, and I know I could definitely see why we're being a little careful here, because we don't want things going into the newspaper, into a publicly available publication that would have information about archaeological resources. Maybe we include that does, you know, the ordinance does cover archaeological resources, and put a sentence in there. But on top of that, even more importantly to me, would be that the Monarch Press knows on the side that if anybody writes in a comment, maybe they, like somebody might actually write a comment, and I've only read, I think, the press a couple times, so I don't know if they have a section where people can write in comments and then they post them. Just being careful that they understand it's very important that they do not publicize the location, the nature of archaeological resources in the press. So, Vice Chair?
Thank you for those comments, because I was going to add something to recognize the archaeological resources, but of course, if someone wants to nominate something, there is a different procedure. So that what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, is open up the nomination form. I have a lot of questions about that, which I think will, because part of our benefits is education, and I think we need to really go over that, make sure I understand it, and how to. So if we can go over that, I have specific questions for each of those sections in the nomination.
Okay, yeah, I'll be pulling up the nomination form after this.
Oh, after this? Okay,
yeah.
All right. All my questions are to do with the nomination form, and also and about the historical context, and also, anyway, when you go there, we'll discuss that.
I did forget to say, it was very nicely written. The article is great. It was just me being picky.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else? Anybody, any other comments?
Chair, I have received one speaker slip for item A1.
Great.
if you wish to go out to public comment?
Yes, please.
Okay. Speaking first, I have Robin Cedarloff. And if any members on Zoom wish to speak, please raise your hand and we will call upon you.
Hello again. Yes, I am so glad that this is moving forward. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because it is confusing. It's hard to understand. There's a lot of information on the website, but really hard to find exactly where everything is. I would say, I guess you're going to be talking about the form, so make sure that the form, they know how to find the form. And add some more to the frequently asked questions section. I think a lot of questions that people have in the community that are trying to find this stuff, we'll go to the frequently asked questions section and look for things. So you might want to think about that. And it's really important to let people know that there is costs affiliated with this. I was dumbfounded when I found out about that cost. I will reiterate that if there's any way to come up with some kind of preliminary procedure so that, you know, if people know a historic site, there's some way to bring it forward without having to fill out the entire form and, you know, pay the fee and whatnot, so that you as a board can take a look at it first. I think that would be great, along with staff, of course. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cedarloff. Do we have any other comments?
Thank you, Chair. I have no one else wishing to speak at this time.
And Chair McDivitt, I'll just start to share. The nomination form is actually the same item, so I can continue on that when you're ready.
Great. Yes, please.
Yeah, so you'll see the City of Goleta website here, and I just briefly want to show you where the Monarch Press is located. So it's just in your upper right-hand corner. You'll see the Monarch Press. Again, a monthly newsletter. It has numerous articles in it. Everything, you know, from events, meet me in Old Town Goleta on May 8th, to City Clerks Week. And so this is what we're envisioning where the first article will go. And then from there, if we go back to the City of Goleta website, you'll see your city on the left here. And if you go to the Planning and Environmental Review on your right, hit that tab. And on the left-hand column, you'll see Historic Preservation. And this has all the historic preservation, our archaeological and tribal cultural resources information, you know, the goal of the ordinance, the regulations, the context statement, the facts, project updates, the ordinance, and the photo gallery. So this is our main page. And with that, the nomination form is actually not on this page, so maybe that's a possible change we can make as well. But I want to show you how we get to the nomination. So we go back to the home page. We'll go Planning and Environmental Review. And you'll see Permits and Regulations. And essentially what this is the permit types within the planning department. You know, you have your zoning information, your general application forms. Then if you go to Application and Submittal Requirements, click on that link, you'll see all of the city's application forms as well as the submittal checklist, the requirements. And we do have a few historic preservation applications and checklists, and you will see the Historic Landmark Nomination Form. which brings up a PDF of the form. And really, essentially, resident will fill this form out. It's a PDF in a fillable format. General information, the applicant information, property owner information. And here's the form itself, a physical description of the property, if there's any known alterations, the building chronology of the property, any character-defining features. Ownership history, and again, it repeats the criteria for designations. A statement of significance. So essentially, this is a statement of how the property or the building meets the criteria above. And then we have a checklist. And so in order to submit the full application, right, so you'll need to submit the completed nomination form, a location map. So that's really like a vicinity map of where it's located within the city. Like a Google image would be fine. Current photographs of the property or the building. You know, if someone can't get the interior, you know, photographs to the, you know, someone can get to the best of their ability. If it's from the street, just the exterior of a site or building, that would be fine. Any historical photographs, if available. And then a bibliography. You know, just a summary or list of the sources, maybe that you reference to maybe deem it potentially a city landmark. Whether that's books, articles, video archive, and then your name and signature. So that's the nomination form itself. And so the nomination form has those items, you know, in the checklist to submit. And then with this, there is the general application as well. So it's just the general planning application, and I'll click on that. And you'll see a historic preservation section, and we have a designation. And so really it's a two-part application. We have the general planning application, which will note that you're submitting for a potential designation, and then along with the nomination form and the checklist requirements. So that's where we're at right now. Is there any questions or comments to that?
Go ahead. I'm just one thing. So is this received hard copy then?
So hard copy, we can do hard copy. It is an option. Everything's electronic now. We can submit, people can submit applications online. We have a public portal where people can do this. Okay. But if that's not an option, say someone doesn't have a computer, we're happy to take it in hard copy as well.
Okay. My only suggestion would be that, for example, attaching photos, you might want to designate whether you want like JPEGs or just so it, whatever you will go through easily to you, I would just specify that. Actually, with any attachments like that, if you want docs, you know.
Yeah.
Just so, because I, well, yeah. I'll just leave it at that. Okay, that's it.
Thank you. I have, you know, I'm looking at this. I mean, just even being a professional that, you know, fills out these forms, I could see, even for a professional, it can be daunting to fill these forms out. And I definitely think somebody from the public would definitely find it daunting. And it uses nomenclature that is not common. And can be a better, can't think of a better word other than daunting, right? And so has there been a thought about maybe putting together a primer and how to or best practices? What do these different sections mean in a layman's term so that somebody can fill this out if that's what they choose to do? Because it is going to be a lot of work. Even if it's in layman's terms, it's a lot of work. I could see how some of these questions, like significance, I wouldn't even know, you know, if I wasn't a professional, I wouldn't know where to start with that. And then the other thing that I could see people being very passionate about making sure that, you know, a property that they've grown up with hopefully is preserved. And so maybe they might take it a little bit farther than they should. So maybe a best practices along with that how-to. You know, do not enter somebody else's property. You can't go and look in windows and try to take pictures of the inside. I mean, it sounds kind of silly to us, but I could see somebody doing that, which could create some issues. So I think it would take a little bit more work. I definitely like your idea of putting it more accessible, because it makes sense to have it organized in this way on the website. But if you're not familiar with the website, it's hard to find. So, and I'm happy to help create that. I mean, I know Fermina and I, we both work with clients all the time that do not understand the process. And so we know the effort that it takes to interpret some of this. And then also maybe so that people do not feel like their efforts are in vain. You guys have done such a beautiful job early on in this commission, having these tutorials and slide decks that explain. So for those of the public that are watching, you know, you can go back into previous agendas and watch those. It does a really nice job in laying out how that assessment, the process, you know, that it's pursuant to ordinances and CEQA and sometimes NEPA. But, you know, you can put a lot of effort into it and then it doesn't happen. And at least setting up reasonable expectations on the part of the public so that they know that just because they put in a form does not mean that then it is going to automatically be a landmark.
Thank you, Chair McDivitt.
Sure.
Thank you very much. This is such a great start, and I'm really grateful for Peter Imhoff and the staff for starting this off. Then this form, I really echo what the chair said, is for a regular citizen who is not, who doesn't have the professional background, will have a hard time with this. So, if, for example, the applicant information and the property owner, I mean, does the applicant have to ask, make sure that the owner knows that they are, they don't have to do that, okay? So I think that's something that maybe we'll have a workshop or something where we can really talk to the public what are the do's and don'ts of doing this, because at the same time you're doing a nomination, you want to respect the property owner. Like, no property owner would want to know these things. Like, maybe they don't want that information out. And then it goes on the next page where you go to the alterations. I mean, no... You know history of a building, but you don't necessarily know when all the different alterations were done. I mean, if my husband was doing this, doing alterations, I have to go to the records. I have to pay money to go to the building records at the county, you know. But a common citizen who doesn't have access to all this, how would they do that? Do they just say, I don't know, alterations over the years? Different physical alterations to the building. I remember when it was this and now it's that, you know. Those pictures are going to be important to see what, but let's say the building is hidden behind a fence or it's gated or something. how, you know, that has to be sort of answered somewhere. Like, and the other thing, like character-defining features, I mean, we know that as practicing professions, but who would know that, really, a common citizen? My neighbors, they don't know what character features are. So maybe it's like something you say, here are some examples. And they, and those examples are actually found in our historical context. You know, the, our document, the city document, is so rich. And if we can make this form that that makes citizens go look for that information in that building and show examples on page so-and-so, this is what we mean by character-defining features. And page so-and-so, this is what we mean by what architectural style is. I mean, the, our context is so rich, and it has everything. But the typical citizen is not able to really know where to go and how to match these words to that. Anyway, I know it's a long process, but if we do it right in the long run, believe me, the education will go be far and wide and beneficial, even especially even for developers. They could just look at that, oh, yeah, I know exactly what they're talking about. They're talking about historic windows, did that. What can I do to make my building fit that or whatever? It's not just people who want to preserve things. It's overall. And I think if we really, this is actually a really good form in the sense that it's short and really manageable. I'm so familiar with other really complicated forms. So this form is actually good. It's just that if we have a kind of a defining stuff along with like a primer, like the chair was saying, that would be really good. And then not having to really have a glossary of everything, but point them to the historical context glossary. The glossary there is excellent. It even has it has all the definitions, believe me. So that would be a really good resource for the community. And let's see, what else? The Mills Act. The Mills Act is something I really want to show that preservation has. We have Mills Act for a benefit. And I don't know whether that could be integrated into any of this or you'd rather not or whatever. But that's really important that we do have the Mills Act and someone wants to preserve their property, especially developers want to preserve their property. They can benefit from that. And the California Building Codes Act. If your home is eligible to be landmark, you qualify for the California Building Act, meaning that you don't have to bring all the features to be code. It has to be historical California code, a big benefit for anybody doing preservation. So I just see a lot of good things coming out of this, but I think it's more about us helping the community residents to be excited, not only excited, but to have that confidence, I can do it. And then if you do have cost for it, you can break it down to say, okay, this is why it costs this much and why it takes this much to do this. Or the other thing that is another step, let's say that someone said, I really think that should be historic building, but I don't have the money or the wherewithal to do this. What I just request for is to be placed in the historic resources inventory. Is there a preliminary way to just say, I don't know more about this building elements here, but it's just like a red flag, you know? It just says, this is 50 years old or over, and there might be potential to be in the inventory list. Because inventory list, you're not ready to be landmarked. You're just there as a... it's a resource to be watched out for. If a project comes through for that building, then it triggers study, either by a developer or by whoever. So I don't know how that will work, but I think that is also a step to say that for people to not give up, you know? Anyway, I don't know how will that be integrated here. We'll work on it. But that primer you're talking about is going to be very, very helpful.
Thank you for your comments, Vice Chair Murray. With that, you know, there is a fee, a submittal fee for $927. And so in the past, I've mentioned how the City Council appropriated funds to support the nomination process. And those funds are actually when an application is submitted. They've appropriated funds to have a third party do the historical analysis on that nomination. And those are the funds right now that have been allocated, not an application submittal fee. But in terms of the nomination process, you know, be submitted to the city. At that time, staff would do a completeness check of the form and the submittal requirements. If deemed complete, it would go into start to initiate review to get the nomination in the building, the property, to do historical analysis. And at that time, if there's any proposed development on the site, there'd be interim protection put on the site or the building. I'd go to the Historic Preservation Commission, and then City Council. So that is the process.
I have another question. So will that nomination, let's say someone like Ms. City Love just put a nomination in, will that come to us to be seen, or you're just going to do the review and all that, and then it goes to the council? Sorry, I wasn't quite sure.
Can you repeat that?
So once let's say an application is submitted or the nomination is submitted, so you go through the process, let's say, and then who makes the decision that the nomination is good or is okay or not okay, or comes to us, or is it reviewed by us before
it goes? Yeah, it will be reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission before it goes to the City Council.
Okay. Okay.
I know that we did the public comments a little early. Is it appropriate to give another chance if there is anybody, any other slips or people online?
Yes, thank you, Chair. That's at your discretion if you wish to go back out to public comment.
Sure.
I have not received any additional speaker slips, and there is currently no one participating on the Zoom webinar, but it seems we have another member wishing to speak, so please step forward to the podium. Thank you.
And Chair McDivitt, if I can. This agenda item too is like we're really concentrating on the article itself, and to get a buy-in from the commission. The primary point of this item wasn't to go over the historic nomination form itself. It was just to give an overview of the process of that, as well as to get buy-in from the commission on the article.
Thank you for making that distinction. Maybe this is something that we can talk about. Maybe, you know, bring it up on another agenda and really give it the time that that's worth.
Yeah, I think it probably deserves that.
Okay, great. Mr. Nye, do you still want to?
I appreciate this opportunity, and I could probably talk forever, and I will not even try on this topic. At the Santa Barbara County Landmarks Commission, one of the first things, I've been on it from, 12 years or something. One of the earliest things that a small committee of us did was to revise and remake the whole application process. But the biggest, and if you go to what we call it HLAC, Historic Landmarks Advisory Commission, if you go to that website, you'll see all the various aspects of what we sort of user-friendly as much as we could do it as volunteers, make it a more user-friendly application. But that's not to say that it is user-friendly still, and that's one of the biggest problems that all commissions like this face is that the commissions are operating under the California Environmental Quality Act, which has certain standards and requirements for what's considered a qualified historian, a qualified historical survey. These are all technical matters that the public really doesn't understandably doesn't understand. And so it's a big, big problem. And I don't know, there must be a solution, but it's worth thinking about a lot and making it, even the smallest efforts that are possible. You can also check out the Ventura County landmark process. They're much more advanced than Santa Barbara County and much more involved. Yes, this is not exactly part of what you're supposed to be talking about. So I just encourage you to keep trying.
Thank you, Mr. Nye. So Mr. Mimic, I think that this was just being presented to us. This is not something we're voting on. This is just correct?
Correct, right. Okay. So, yeah, today we're really looking for comments on the Monarch Press article. And in the staff report, you'll see at the bottom, it was really a presentation to the commission, just really giving a tutorial of how to assess and also access the website of where the nomination form is. And if you know the HBC, you can always recommend to do more of a deep dive in the nomination form itself at a future meeting, if you wish.
Great, thank you so much. Well, I think then that takes us on to the next item on our agenda, the Historic Preservation Commission project update.
Item A2. Historic Preservation Commission project updates.
Mr. Mimic.
Yeah, thank you, Chair McDivitt. You might recall on March 27th that the HPC asked staff to give an update of items that have come before the commission. And so we went ahead and did that. And HPC has seen three items, and so I briefly want to go through those and kind of give a status of where they're at and answer any questions or comments you have. I do want to give a reminder that, these are, we're not here today reviewing these projects. They've already come before. However, one will come back to the HPC, and we'll talk about that in 1 minute. So you might recall the SBU Humane campus renovation. This was a proposed new facility that the HBC reviewed on June 28, 2023. A primary component of that review was also to look at back house relocation on the site. And on that date, the HBC did vote to recommend approval of that project, including the Beck House relocation, and recommended the approval to DRB, which did review the project, and they then recommended approval to the Planning Commission on October 23, 2023, and that project did get approved. Its current status, it's still in the building plan check phase. And is currently in plan check. So not sure when that will be done, plan check, but it is actively in the process. The next one was the Stewart Hotel signage. You might remember that the HPC, given the location and vicinity to a city landmark, most notably the landscaping at the site of the Stewart Hotel, the HPC reviewed this on August 21st, 2023, and did recommend approval to the Design Review Board on August 22nd, 2023. And that did go through building plan check, was approved by building, and ultimately installed on September 10th, 2023. And here is what it looks like on the site currently. The next one, the HPC reviewed the Barnstall Rio Grande gas station slash cafe. And the applicant came forward then really as an introduction to what they're proposing for the city's historic landmark. Overall, the HPC had really good comments, as well as some comments. And so that is currently, the application was officially submitted to planning. The project was deemed complete and is now currently in the environmental review phase of the project, currently doing an EIR. So really the next steps for this is once the environmental EIR is released to the public, staff and the applicant will receive comments. And then soon thereafter, you'll see the project come back before the HPC for a formal recommendation or not. And then from there, it will go to the Design Review Board, the City of Goleta Planning Commission, City Council. And given this is in the coastal zone, the final approval is by the California Coastal Commission. With that, any questions?
No, just thank you very much for the update.
How about Mr. Norman? Do we have any public slips or?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I've received one speaker slip from Robin Cedarloft. And if any members on Zoom wish to speak, please raise your hand and we will call upon you.
Hi, Robin Cedarloft. I do believe on the Humane Society project that was actually seen first by the Design Review Board. And they approved it, and then it came to you guys. Because I do remember speaking on that and recommending that should have gone to you first before going to the DRB. And so I maybe I'm wrong, but I couldn't find it in my notes, but you might want to check the notes on that one. But I'm pretty sure it went to the Design Review Board first and then came to you guys, which in the future, it's nice that it's the opposite.
And Chair McDivitt, if I may, I can help answer that question.
Yes, please.
Ms. Cedarloft is correct. It did go to the Design Review Board first. However, it went for just conceptual comments. So any applicant at this time, they have a project, can submit an application for just getting comments from the Design Review Board. This is design related, whether it's architecture, landscaping, lighting, site design. They have that ability. It's not part of the planning process, except for just conceptual review. Mm-hmm. And so they will go back to the Design Review Board as well. The DRB did not give an official approval or recommendation. That's solely for the HPC to do to the Design Review Board. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mimic. And I'll just piggyback off of that just for those in the public that might be curious. So the reason that happens is because, there's a lot of cost associated with design. And so typically an applicant is going to want to at least kind of get the temperature on their design ideas, their conceptual ideas, before they move forward with the more expensive components of design, like civil design, geotechnical comments and suggestions based on the civil design. So that's why the conceptual can, and not every project, just like Mr. Mimic says, goes through that. They don't have to. It's a courtesy that most planning departments and then the Design and Review Board allow for. So. Mr. Mr. Norman, did we have any other requests for speakers?
Thank you, Chair. I have no additional speaker slips, unless Mr. Nye would like to speak. And I do not see anyone wishing to speak on Zoom. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, great. Well, I think this was a really worthwhile meeting. Appreciate.
We do have commissioner comments.
Yes, thank you.
Before adjournment.
Yes. Well, so, Vice Chair.
Yes, thank you very much. I really appreciate this meeting and these items. And yes, I would like to request that we move forward with the discussion from the discussion tonight. And I do also volunteer to work with staff about the primer, whatever you want to call it, to make sure that the public will be able to do this nomination if they chose to do.
Any other commissioners, do you have comments? Yes.
And maybe this is kind of outside of the realm of what we do, but is there, and I don't know enough about the Planning Commission and stuff, but is there any stopgaps when a property is purchased and then they're going to design something to build there before a property that's maybe could be historic but maybe isn't designated yet, say it's over 50 years old or something, that it would have to come to the commission or something and say, is this something we want to look at before they're allowed to demolish it?
So there is a process. Mr. Mimic, do you want to talk about that or just a brief overview?
I didn't quite understand the question.
She was asking that, let's say somebody buys a piece of property, and if there is a historic building, a potential, it's something that might have potential significance, let's say they're not interested in looking in that. She's asking, is there a process by way the city would actually require some assessment of some sort before it gets demolished?
Yeah, Chair McDivitt, I don't have an answer for that right now. Given it's not an agenda item, okay. You know, something so specific, I don't want to comment on that right
okay.
now.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mimic.
Could it be added to the commission comments for to get the answer in the next meeting or something? That's what I think. We don't expect the answer now. We just want to put these comments for future agendas. As you see how a future agenda could answer these questions. Just like what
yes.
you did with this, you know, this yep. was a question from the past and here we are moving forward. I think that's a very legitimate question because, as you know, Goleta is over 50 years old now. All these homes, tract homes, were built in 66. And there is this pressure of, you know, every time someone wants to demo something because, oh, it's a tract home, it's nothing. What do we do? And, you know, I think that's just like the first thing. Mm-hmm. Not that we don't want to restore a report, which is what is the first step when you're over 50 years old?
Yeah, and I do think there are some of that has been answered in previous, but we could certainly go into it later. But there's, you know, some of the initial PowerPoints have addressed that process, but we can certainly look into it a little bit further.
Yeah. Chair McDivitt,
yes.
if you don't mind, I can
Please.
Respond to that.
Okay, great.
I'm Lisa Prossi. I'm the current planning manager and has something to do with the ordinance. yes, there is a section. I wish I had that section memorized. It's somewhere in 17.33, but there is a provision that if a project comes to the city and it's over, if it meets certain criteria, the director can require further study on the building. So that we do have that in there. Again, I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly which section it is, but there is that. Because this situation was something that was identified, that we could have things that are over 50 years old, plus knowing that the ordinance and the code provisions are going, you know, things are going to get older as time moves on, and that, you know, maybe something that wasn't felt to be historic at the time the ordinance was adopted, maybe 10 years from now it could be. So, because unfortunately everything is getting older. So
including ourselves.
That helps.
And I think I don't think I'm talking out of turn to say that cities do regularly do historic surveys. So, but they are expensive. Yep.
And Chair McDivitt, if I may, so just for clarification, can you give your potential requests again for something to see on the next meeting?
Well, I think one of my suggestions, and then I'll let talk about what Vice Chair, or at least, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong, and what my interpretation what you said, but the first thing is a reminder. I think it's fair to say that we have other agendas and other presentations that have happened that do have that information. I don't think Commissioner Link was with us at the time when we had that tutorial. It was really well done, went through the whole process, explained the ordinance. It was a nice curriculum, a compact curriculum of talking about the process and CEQA in general, but also the process relative to the ordinance for the city. And so that's just a good reminder for the public as well. But I think that a lot of this process can be answered in the primer that we're talking about. I think that's probably what is being, is the impetus behind all these questions, is that when we're talking about the companion primer, the potential if we end up doing that. So maybe that would be a good agenda item for the next, is to actually figure out what is the steps and what kind of involvement can the commission have in creating that best practices, primer, yeah, all those things that we talked about over tonight's meeting. Do you agree, Vice Chair? Does that represent what you're saying?
I completely agree, and I, again, volunteer my time and expertise to help with whatever.
And I know, you know, until we get really busy, this is a good use of our time. You know, since we haven't had a whole lot coming before the commission, we're all here because we love preservation and we love historic. We love our city and we want to preserve what is meaningful to preserve. So, yeah. Any other comments?
I just wanted to say that thank you so much for the updates on the history of our projects, and thank you very much. So,
you're welcome.
So, if we are done with commission comment, yes, Mr. Mimic.
And just a reminder, our next meeting will be July 21st.
Great. Okay. All right. Well, that takes us to adjournment. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.